This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Dave Ross of VSiN will join us. We will go over, get some baseball, as I will get to baseball here in a minute. We'll do some football as the free agents are coming fast and furious. Even as I'm recording this, DK Metcalf to the Steelers, Devontae Adams to the Rams. It sounds like Rodgers to the Vikings is a real possibility. So we'll talk a little football with Dave, and I'll do football here as these moves continue to happen here throughout the week. And I'll get to some baseball here with the Yankees. Is what a disaster of a spring training they have had before they've even played a game. But I'll start with some college basketball here just quickly. Four tickets have been punched here, or five tickets. We've got SIU Edwardsville wins Saturday night. They're in the tournament, first time ever. I think they came from Division II. They are in. And then we got a bunch of bids on Sunday. Drake, we don't have to have any conversation, any controversy of should they or should they not be in. They win. I was down on them, and they had chances to lose, but they win. And by the way, I mentioned last week those Missouri Valley unders are good bets. Should have listened to my own advice, because the first one went over, and there's a joke in one of the group chats I'm in with Sammy P, Chris Felica, and Jeff Schwartz. We all do the Fox pod together. After the first one went over, I said, you know, I'm worried this trend might be dead here. The books are onto it. They lines adjust. Well, the lines adjusted for all the games, but not enough. As the first game goes over, the next nine stayed under in the Missouri Valley, which is just a big cavernous arena, an underfest. So Drake wins. Drake is in to go with Lipscomb, as well as High Point, who Kev O'Neill we had on last week, talked about them as a sleeper. They were by far the best team in that conference. He thinks they're a sleeper once they get in. They were, first of all, they were laying 7.5. They were down 15 with 15 or 16 minutes to go. Not only do they win, they covered. I think they won by like 12, so they had a dominant second half. They're in the dance. And then Omaha, St. Thomas are playing or about to tip. Omaha is in no matter what because that stupid rule where St. Thomas is ineligible even if they win because they're still in that grace period or you know, penalty period of switching over where you can't make the tournament, which is a ridiculous rule. I don't know who it serves, what the purpose. I hate the rule. So Omaha is going to be in. So we have a handful of bids. And another thing with these conference tournaments, all of these title games, and St. Thomas and Omaha is about to tip now. And that one's a little different because you're not actually playing for a bid. All of these title games have gone under, at least on Sunday. I didn't see what SIU Edwardsville was Saturday night. I kind of that one kind of came quicker than I thought. I wasn't expecting. I didn't know we had a title game on Saturday, and then we had the three in the afternoon on Sunday. But all three on Sunday went under, and it's a reminder, especially when you get these early start times, and especially when you're adjusting the clocks, and these noon Eastern tips are really 11 a.m. Eastern tips, and everyone gets an hour less of sleep. It's very hard to go over. There's just max intensity on defense. Teams are a little more conservative on offense. So unders in these title games are the way to go. So I would look for that going forward. Haven't been on since this game happened. For anyone that tailed the Queens 50-1, and this has been a few days now, but my goodness, I'm sure you saw in the semifinals, up 10 with 6 and change, 7 minutes to go, and then right away Lipscomb hits a 3 and another 3, cuts it to 4, and even after that, Queens is up 2 with like 30 seconds left. One stop, they go to the free throw line, probably going to the finals where you can, you know, at least hedge that ticket or ride it out, whatever. They give up, I think it was a foul. Lipscomb makes both, and still Queens a chance to win at the buzzer, hold for the last shot. They get a bad look and then go to overtime, and you kind of had a feeling what was going to happen in overtime, even though, well, again, they had leads in overtime. Just a tough, tough ticket to lose. So that was, you know, Kev O'Neill, who also liked that. I talked about that one. 50-1, 22-1 with only two wins needed after they were in the semifinal. They were still 22-1, I think 24-1 in some spots. That was a tough one. That was a good bet that just didn't get home. And that's the thing with these long shots, man. You have to identify the number and just kind of hope the ball bounces your way. You're never going to cruise to a 50-1 where every game is easy and you win going away. It's just not how it goes. So been a fun weekend of college basketball. These bigger conferences are up. I haven't dove into them too much. Two that jumped out to me. One of them, Trip Tepper, a friend of the show, listens all the time, tweeted at me. Rutgers, he says he found 300-1. I'm seeing 200-1 on DraftKings. For a team with two lottery picks, two NBA talents to be 200-300-1, I think that's one where you throw, even if it's a tenth of a unit, a small bet on it. I like that bet. I like Rutgers. Arkansas at 150-1 to win the SEC. A lot of talent. A team that has been a story of two seasons. They were bad early. They went a long time without ever getting a winning conference play. Worked their way back onto the bubble, through the bubble. They are pretty safely, I would think, in the NCAA tournament anyway. And who knows? Auburn, do they care? Do these teams at the top? You're going to hear a lot of that. Oh, they don't even want to win. They don't want to play all those games. I don't know. It's very tricky to handicap the motivation and try to get inside the heads of these coaches, these teenage players, 20-year-old kids, of how motivated they are to win or not win a conference tournament. But from a talent standpoint, the 150-1 on Arkansas, and again, I haven't shopped it, just looking at one book. I don't have a ton of options here in Connecticut, and I'm looking at 200-1 at Rutgers. Those are two that jump out to me. And keep an eye on those unders for these title games. I do think those are good bets, as we are a week away, a week from now, we are going to have the bracket. So very exciting time of the year. You catch your breath a little bit Monday, no day games. And I think Tuesday, once you get a couple game day games Tuesday, Wednesday, a bunch of day games. And then once you hit Tuesday or Wednesday, my goodness, it is nonstop basketball for 4 or 5 days up until the selection. That selection Sunday is actually a quieter day. You don't have that much action. You only have like the 3 or 4 title games, but then you get the bracket. All the lines come up. You feel it's so much fun. So excited for that. Quickly, the Yankees. What a disaster. It sounds like Stanton with his elbows. He's getting PRP injections. He might need surgery. And if he needs surgery, he's out for the year. And to make matters worse, Cole dealing with elbow. If you read between the lines, Cashman saying, we expect the worst. It sounds like Cole is going to need Tommy John surgery, which would put him out for the year and probably not have him return till, sometime May, June next year. Who knows? Middle of next season. The Yankees, barring the caveat of the new baseball format, everyone kind of makes the playoffs. That's decent. And once you get in, you could be the Diamondbacks of 2 years ago, the Rangers of 2 years ago, and find yourself, you win a best of three, a best of five. Fluky things happen. They got a good bullpen. They still have a good team. They don't have a great team. They're not one of the five best teams. You got Fried. You got a good bullpen. You got Judge. But as far as being an elite team, you can almost cross the Yankees off. You can almost write them off as a contender before the season even starts. And this is not the old days where, all right, we lose one guy and we're going to go out and we're going to get Alcantara. We're going to go out and be aggressive. They are not that, as we talked about ad nauseum a million times, that is not their nature anymore. And it's hard to replace Cole. It's hard to get the players this time of year to begin with, because most teams don't want to sell off in March when you want to at least, pretend that you're trying to win, even if you're a rebuilding team. So disaster of a spring training for the Yankees, who might be without Cole and without Stanton for the rest of the season. Boy, Judge is going to have a hard time getting pitches. No more Soto and no Stanton in the lineup. Judge is going to walk more than you could believe this season. Oh, my goodness. I would still think Red Sox plus 425 is a good bet. I do think the Orioles at plus 285 are being overlooked a little bit. I know the starting pitching isn't great, but they do have a good everyday lineup. They do have a good bullpen, and I would make the Orioles shorter than the Yankees. The Yankees being plus 110 and the Orioles being plus 285. Again, just looking at one book, haven't shopped it. I just think that's wrong. I think they should at worst be co-favorites. I don't think the Yankees should be, basically even money plus 110. To me, that's a ridiculous price. I'd love a yes, no. I'd love to bet the Yankees no to make, no to win the division at reasonable odds. If you're going to tell me, they're plus 110 to win it, well, I'll lay minus 130, minus 140 that they won't. I just don't think. I think this team had a good team, had a good offseason when you put aside Soto, and you can't have a good offseason when you lose Soto, but all things considered, a decent offseason when you look, considering the fact that you lost Soto. That being said, when you lose Cole and you lose Stanton, there's just not enough talent to fill in that gap. So really, really brutal here for the Yankees, who are without two of their five or six most important players, a top-heavy team to begin with before the season even begins. But let's talk a little baseball. Let's talk a little more baseball with Dave Ross. Get his thoughts on this a little bit more. That is next. This is the Should've Bet More podcast. All right, we're back. Should've Bet More podcast. You can catch him VEASAN by the books. He's been on this podcast 3-4 times. He was nice enough to come on this podcast after the Mets were eliminated last year against the Dodgers, which shows you his dedication. The Mets are back. He is back. It is the great Dave Ross. Dave, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. That day is still so bittersweet, but I think doing the podcast with you was therapeutic, because I had some super long tickets in the Mets last year. Got over, 125-1 to win the World Series in the summertime when it looked like they were down and out. And again, the whole thought process was if they could get in, they'd be dangerous. But now, as we sit here, we can't even get to April, Will. Every day there's another injury for the Mets. We already lost two starters, and we're going to lose Frankie Two Thumbs again. He's going to be out now for a while. And Frankie Alvarez, I mean, can we just start the season? Or are we going to be a mash unit before we ever get there?
Well, we'll get to the Mets. But speaking of New York injuries, It's looking like the Yankee season might be over before it started. Stan with two elbows, it does not sound good. Maybe surgery, which would end his season before it starts. And Cole, I mean, maybe by the time people listen to this, it sounds, if you read between the lines, they think he needs Tommy John surgery. I'll just ask it straightforward. Can we cross off the Yankees as a legitimate title contender without Cole, without Stan, if that is indeed the case?
I think so. And I'll say this, though, Will, you're the guy that tipped me off on this maybe over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago now, that like Hal Steinbrenner, no disrespect to the Steinbrenner family, but George is probably rolling over in his grave because you would just assume the Yankees would reload. And they don't. They don't tend to do that anymore. Like the Dodgers, who go 6-7 deep. So if they had 1, 2, 3 injuries, they still have enough. Even the Braves last year, I mean, I don't know if you could have any more of a mash unit than they had last year. It still feels like they kept trying a little bit. You know, you bring in Sale last year the way they did. I don't know that the Yankees in years past would have absolutely said, oh, they can piecemeal this thing together if the news isn't that bad on Cole. Maybe get them late in the year. Will, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of pessimistic on where the Yankees now are as an all-in organization in baseball. And for that reason, I don't trust them. I don't look at them as a deep player in the American League now without Gerrit Cole and Stanton for a long time.
What would you look at here in terms of the division? Do you buy the Red Sox stepping up? There's been a lot of Red Sox. I mean, every time we both work at VSiN together, obviously, every time I turn on VSiN, somebody else loves the Red Sox. And I like them too. I worry they're a little too trendy. Baltimore, I do feel like it's being a little overlooked. I understand they maybe don't have enough pitching, but how do you break down this AL East? Are there any bets worth making? Are the Yankees under? Are Yankees to miss the playoffs? Give me your thoughts on that.
I was going to play the Red Sox, you know, when it was north of 5-1. And now that with all the news that's come down, it's down around 4-1, maybe even shorter than that. I haven't checked today to see with that news of Gerrit Cole, how that's going to affect that market, if at all. But it's probably going to be another 20 cents, 30 cents. You would think that moves towards the Red Sox favorite against the Yanks here. I do think an actionable play might be the Orioles because they are being overlooked. And then look, I don't know how much of a free fall this is really going to be. But what about Tampa Bay? Have we completely discounted them that really they just don't have the horses and you know, the way they do operations down there? Toronto, we feel like it's going to be a fire sale at some point, whether or not that's Scherzer, Vlad, you name it. I wonder if Tampa Bay, if there's a team that might be able to hang in there. Now, I don't know if they can do it for 162, but maybe if they could get off to a good start and then see where their position come, you know, trade deadline, they could be a really good value play at this point. But again, if you made me and I have no tickets in pocket here in the AL East, because I feel like I've let the number get away from me from the Red Sox, I would probably take a look at the Orioles if you're still getting close to 3-1 to win the division.
Yeah, I'm looking at DraftKings. Yankees plus 110. I would not bet that at all. No. Orioles plus 285. Right. I don't think it's bad. Red Sox at plus 425. Could you get cute and say, you know what, I'm fading the Yankees. I don't think they're going to win. I'll put half my bet on the Orioles, half my bet on the Red Sox, and I'll come away with money either way as long as not the Yankees. And I assume the Rays aren't going to win. The Rays is an interesting thought. It's just at plus 750, you still have Yankees, Orioles. You got to beat all three of them. Now they get McClanahan back. They always do more with less. Last year was being an exception. I just don't know. Do they have the upside to get to like the mid 90s? I would, you know, if you're talking like 12, 14 to one, maybe I think about it. I just feel like plus 750 maybe is a little short.
I agree. If the number was right, I think it would be a play, but it have to be to me. It's got to start at 10-1. Like if you're going to play the Rays and shop around, if you can find a 10-1, then I think it's worth a shot there. But plus 750 is not enough. I'd rather play, to your point, I'd rather play the O's nearly 3-1 and the Sox over 4-1 here with those two hedge spots there. And again, then you're just rooting against the Yankees. And then you should start looking at Yankees to miss the playoffs. Like if we really think that the Orioles and the Red Sox are value plays, the other way to go in that marketplace would be Yanks to miss the playoffs. And then we don't have to kind of, you know, hope that Tampa Bay doesn't really upset our price points there with Boston and Baltimore. And that might not be a bad way to go here, Yanks to miss, because if they don't reload, they're going to have to get reinforcements to this stage, Will. I mean, I just don't think that the Goldschmidts and the other additions that you've had are going to offset the loss of Soto, first and foremost, and then you lose Stanton, and then you lose Cole. I just don't see it with that team unless, again, we trust the front office to go out there and make moves.
Yeah, and it's really hard in April, March. Like most of these teams, I know you're going to have the Marlins. You're going to have some of these teams that will sell off players, but most of these teams don't want to annoy their fans. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade my best player in March before the season starts when I'm trying to sell tickets. It's not even opening day, and I'm going to punt the season, especially with all these extra playoff spots. That's a tough look. So that makes it really hard to get players this time of year.
Well, don't you think the one guy out there that I think you're alluding to is Sandy Alcantara, right? For the Marlins, you go, hey, he's the big fish to fry. If the Marlins clearly feels like he's going to be on the market, whether or not that's going to be before the break, but they feel like they're going to move him, and we can't see the Marlins being a player in that rough and tumble line at least. So yeah, like now that move, if you wanted to go do that now for the Yanks, it's just my question to you, Will, and you know this team even better than I, is that are they really a Sandy away with the Cole news and with not overspending for Soto as much as you can overspend for a guy that's getting, you know, $500 million, for the money that the Mets spent to go get him? Could you then say, all right, if Sandy goes in there without Gerrit Cole, that's, I don't know if it's a wash, but then we are back on schedule plus $1.10, then that would be a playable number. But short of that, I don't know if there's anybody else out there that really would make you say, yeah, I could still bank the Yanks at this price point.
Yeah, and it's just tough because that's just like you alluded to, that's not the way they do business anymore. Not only are they careful with the money, they're careful with the young players. And George used to, you know, for good, for better or for worse, he didn't care about the young player. He never heard of the young players. He wants to win. And that hurt him a lot of times. But and once he got suspended, those guys were able to marinate. And that's how you got the Jeters, the Riveras, those kind of guys. But the reason they like the young players so much, those guys are cheap. They don't cost money. So it's another excuse to not spend. So I have a very hard time seeing them actually go out and get Alcantara. I actually think Alcantara would make a lot of sense for the Mets with these injuries. The last thing on the Yankees, the only case you could make for them, so many teams make the playoffs. Are they good enough to make the playoffs? Yes, probably, possibly. And even if it's 86, 87 wins, once you get in, we saw the Diamondbacks and Rangers last a couple years ago, where who knows, best of five, best of three, weird things can happen. You still have Freed, you got a good bullpen, you got Judge, and who knows, you end up in an ALCS and anything's possible. But as far as like being from a talent perspective on the same level as the Dodgers and some of these other teams, it's not really close, especially with these injuries.
I would say this too. If we kind of extract that and say, all right, if they're a playoff team and they don't have Cole, and again, we're theorizing that he's gone, then you should look to the Aaron Judge MVP market. Because without Soto, without Stanton, without Cole, if there's one guy that carries them and it's Judge, then I think he's really live. If they make the playoffs and it's not because of a stellar pitching staff and it's not because of the guys that we mentioned that aren't there, then I think he would become then on that short list. Obviously, he's always going to be on the short list. But I do think that that's a better price point right now than plus $1.10, certainly to win the division, because I don't know that they're going to be doing that unless Judge can truly carry them through the summer. And if so, then you know how the New York media works. It's going to be Judge for MVP, and that's going to be a much better price point than plus $1.10 to win the division.
Yeah, and we talked about this on the other show. I've talked about this on here. Judge is going to get walked a ton. If we have no Stanton, there's no Soto anymore. You know what? Cody Bellinger, Goldschmidt, these guys will take our chances in it. They're going to be very careful pitching to Judge.
Yeah, it shouldn't pitch them, right?
Yeah,
but if they're going to win the division, right, then that means Judge is doing something really special again, and then he'd be right there for MVP.
Have you made any Mets related bets? Does plus 230, plus 240, which I'm seeing at DraftKings for the division, any of this interest you? Is the division too tough? You're going to wait in season. What are your thoughts here on your Metropolitans?
Just like last year before the season for the Cowboys, no bets. And I'm so glad I didn't. This year, no preseason bets in the Mets. By the way, no preseason bets in the Mets except for to make the playoffs last year plus money. I did have that in pocket, small play. Before the season began, that got home. It got home late, as we all know, on the last day of the regular season, right? I have no Mets in pocket plays. The one thing that gives me buoys your hopes as a Met backer is Uncle Steve. We know, unlike what's going on in the other side of town, that he's on record. I don't need this money. Like my joy will come from bringing a championship to this fan base. So when I hear that, it's not Dodger level of, you know, there is no piggy bank. We just keep breaking it and then go get another piggy bank to break. But it does show me that if this rash of injuries continues, it's not going to be like when you traded away DeGrom, you traded away Scherz, and you really rebuilt it then. He knew that was kind of dead money. I think he's spending it more wisely now. Certainly Soto is the biggest example of that. Will, he's going to keep spending. Once you make that move for Soto, then you're all in. I mean, you are absolutely all in as long as you have Juan Soto there. And then you find out 5 years down the road if you move him. But for the next 3, 4, 5 years, you got to feel like every year is going to be an all-in year for the Mets.
You mentioned they made the playoffs. They did it late, made it on the last day. It just kind of brought back memories of how great was that last day of the season.
Oh.
And you obviously you came on after they lost, and I'm sure as a Met fan, you can appreciate what that run was now that it's the pain of losing has worn off. The great homer against the Brewers, beating the Phillies in all those games, being 1-1 against the Dodgers, a series they really, I thought, had chances to win. The Dodgers were better than them, but I think looking back, man, that was a great last day of the season. The Lindor homer, that's one of the best games I've ever seen, really. That Braves game that got him in, and just that whole run, what a complete ride it was. It was just so much
And the
fun.
Alonzo home run off Devin Williams in the top of the ninth, going the opposite way in Milwaukee to get out. I mean, it was this magical a
Screaming
ride.
as soon as he hit it, which it didn't get over by that much, but he hits it as soon as it leaves the bat. It's like it's 50 feet over the fence. He shouted. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he knew right away. I mean, you get a 3-run jag, top nine off the best closer, arguably in baseball, on the road. I mean, that stuff just doesn't happen. Now, I had 60-1 to win the NLCS. Or to win the National League, win the pennant, and I had 125 to win the World Series. And team no hedge. I did not hedge. And I know we've talked about this, and I know bettors talk about it all the time. And of course, people are going to say, what are you, an idiot? You should at 1-1 against the Dodgers, maybe you should come back the other way. It's so weird for me. I just couldn't do it. And it was the best ride of tickets that did not get home, arguably ever. I had a couple in football that were 11-1 on the Vikings to win the division, Steelers at 11-1 last year. Not 60-1, 125-1. I mean, Will, those were fun tickets that didn't get home. What would you have done? Would you bought back a little bit there on the Dodgers at 1-1?
It's hard to say.
See?
I forget what I was thinking at the time. I think at the time I had a good feeling they were going to win.
Yeah.
It's always tough. There's always a way to look at it too, where even if I think they're going to win, you know what? Let me take some profit off the top, and this will pay for my next four, five, six futures where I'm kind of funding these. Because if you're going to shop in that market, 100 to 1, 60 to 1, you're going to have somewhere you can't hedge. And if you hedge a little bit on some, that at least funds pays for the next five or ten. Again, there's no right or wrong answer. Some people say I'm going to hedge and lock in a profit. Some people say they don't. It's not there's no right answer.
No, there isn't. I'll say this, and I love our conversations, by the way. When you're on with us on Mondays, it feels like that's going to be our day, which is always going to be a blast. I know that sometimes on our network, people are not that always in tune with the futures. They like the day in, day out grind. And I get it. We do too, right? But I love the futures market. It's something over the last 4 or 5 years that you got to have the patience of Job. You really do. But Will, I think you can attack numbers and get better numbers. And if you're okay with letting that sit in your account for 5, 6, 7, 8 months, I mean, sometimes in the NFL, I've already got Super Bowl tickets in for next year. That's a full year, right? That they just have to sit there and marinate. And I know it's not the most popular way to go, but don't you feel like if you're doing your homework the way you're doing it, that you're probably going to be getting a much better number now than you might get 6 months from now?
Absolutely. And you know what? Well, last thing before we transition to football, because I want to bring something up to you. Any other bets, just baseball related, you want to get out there?
I'm on with the public. And again, got this in. You know what I bet. It's the over in the Reds. It's the most bet upon prop right now that DraftKings has, which is insane to me.
Wow.
Over 78 and a half wins. Now, here's the deal. I did make the play well over a month ago when the win totals came out, and I got it at minus hour 10. The number hasn't changed so much, but the juice has. So I think it's interesting to me that the books really haven't adjusted. I did see one in town here at the Super Bowl. It goes up to 81. And I thought, ooh. Do I want to play a 2.5 middle? No, it's not big enough for me to make that second bet and come back in the under. But I get it, but I don't feel like that's public money, Will. I don't think that this is like Reds Nation out there backing this over. I think it is a good play. And if you can still find it around $1.20 out there in the marketplace, I think that's a solid. I love their young pitching. I do. We'll find out if it materializes and what Green is and what Lodolo is and et cetera. But you got an MVP candidate in Dela Cruz there in the middle of the lineup. There should be able to score enough runs. And with that pitching and Terry Francona, what's not to like on that over to me? It's my favorite play of the year, and it's one of my biggest futures plays that I have.
I wrote a future for Fox Sports. I'll have to send you the article.
I got to
Football,
see.
NFL. I was shocked. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I was shocked Dallas is 60-1. I think people have lost their minds. This time last year, they're co-favorites with the Eagles. This time last year, they're 20-1 to win it all. They won 12 games 3 years in a row. Okay, Dak got hurt. They had a bad year. All right, the rest of the team, I don't love Schottenheimer. The rest of the team can – you have Lamb. You have a good quarterback. Now, he's – look, he's not elite, but he's not as bad as some people. Dak's a good player. He's not – again, not great, but he's good. You know, top 8, 10, whatever. You got Lamb. You got Parsons. If you have a good draft free agency, could they, again, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, but could they win 11, 12 games and be in the second round of the playoffs and give you a position to hedge? I was shocked they were 60-1.
I am waiting for these win totals to come out. Speaking of the futures market, somebody hang an 8.5. Just disrespect America's team. Somebody please do it, because I will go. I remember last year the Bears were 8.5, juice to the over, minus -$1.65. You and I said that's ridiculous. You should not play that over. If they hang an 8.5 for the Cowboys, anywhere near around $1.50, up to $1.50, will. That's a playable number for me. And I don't know if we'll get that. It'll probably be closer to 9.5 again. Brian Schottenheimer is a concern, because we still don't know what he's going to be as a head coach. Trust you me, if Mike McCarthy was still there, I would take out a second, you know, mortgage on the house and play the Cowboy over. I'm with you. Is 60-1 a fair price? I think it's a better than fair price. I haven't played it yet, but I do think it's a fair price. I do want to see, because everybody's up in the Commanders now. Right. And obviously Philadelphia is the reigning defendants. I get that. But Dak is healthy. He's had all the time he's going to need. I'm with you. He's on par with Jalen Hurts, isn't he? I mean, I know Jalen Hurts now a Super Bowl champion quarterback. I can't take that away from him. But did we all feel that like Jalen Hurts was the end all be all? No, he's a good quarterback. Really good quarterback. And I look at Dak Prescott in a similar light. Good quarterback. Can be really good. And 2 years ago, he was playing at an MVP level that people have already forgotten, because they get blown out in the first round of the playoffs against the Packers.
A great point. Finished second in the MVP, 15 months ago or something? People lose their minds with this stuff.
And now you're going to get 60-1 on the Cowboys and win the Super Bowl? Okay. So I definitely will be dipping my toe into that market for sure, but I really am looking to that win total. And again, 8.5 up to 9.5, I'd love it. Adjusted win total, 10.5, you're probably going to get over $2 in that market as well. I will be on that, on those plays. And I love the Odighizuwa re-signing for Dallas. I know it's a small deal. People don't get that excited about defensive tackles. I do. Because last year when Dan Quinn went to D.C., why did they get better so quickly? They pilfered Biotic at center. They took Dorrance Armstrong from defensive end. They weakened the Cowboys in places that people don't like to talk about, offense and defensive line. Cowboys finally kept one of their own, and he's really good, by the way. I will be curious to see what the Cowboys do in the draft. Obviously, Genty is a guy that everybody's talking about down there, and it does feel like, boy, if you did get a Genty, where the Cowboys are picking, it feels like he should be available, Will. That could be an instant boon for that offense if he is what we saw at Boise State. I don't think the Cowboys are as far away as people think either.
As we're recording this, looks like Davante Adams is going to the Los Angeles Rams, which is one I didn't see coming. Any thought on where these quarterbacks end up? Do you buy Rodgers to Minnesota? I kind of do, just because I think from Minnesota standpoint, it gives you two shots at it, where maybe McCarthy's ready to go and got the 10th pick. Maybe Rodgers still has something left. You got two bites at the apple. Even if it's a 20% chance, if there's a version of Rodgers where, hey, last year it was all coaching, a bad situation, he's never going to be the MVP guy again, but you got two good receivers, you've got a good offensive coach, especially compared to what you had last year, you're indoors, you're in a better situation. It's basically the situation we thought he was getting with the Jets, which turned out to be a disaster. Do you buy that? Do you have any other feel in terms of where these quarterbacks go, whether it's Darnold, Wilson, or whoever?
The only thing for me, it felt like, because remember a couple of years ago when he was still in Green Bay, they played the Steelers, and he and Tomlin were doing this weird bromance during the game. It was very odd. Like Rodgers is over there looking at, you know, Tomlin. Tomlin's smiling back at Rodgers. I'm like, oh, you guys are playing against each other. But it was a weird thing. I'm like, oh, I see you. I see what you're trying to do. And they're like in each other's heads, but in a very respectful way. And it seemed like there was so much mutual respect. And again, this is years ago. When my antenna went up, like, oh, like the Tomlin's going to want to go get Aaron Rodgers. And so we already see that obviously Russell Wilson's not coming back there to Pittsburgh. Do you really want to go with Justin Fields on a team that was 10-3 last year and then just imploded down the stretch, didn't win another game? That was a disaster for Pittsburgh, even though they did make the playoffs. To me, that still feels like the landing spot to me, that Rodgers in Pittsburgh with that defense, You do have some weapons on the outside. They're not elite level like a JJ would be in Minnesota. But like you tell me, because you're a Vikings guy here, and we loved this team last year, and I had them over 6.5, and I had them all win total over 7.5. They win what, 14? So it was, you know, one of the best futures plays of the year. My question is, if JJ is healthy, is he not the guy? Like, that's what I keep hearing, that that is still the plan, that JJ McCarthy is still going to be the guy day one, but you're not buying that?
I just don't know if with the second knee surgery, if they look at it and their adjustment, their expectations readjust, well, okay, we can actually win now. We won 14 games chance. We're a bad Darnold game away from being the one seed. And if we're the one seed, who the hell knows? It might've been us in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, can we really just give this kid the keys where A, he's a rookie, even though he hasn't played in his second year, and B, he's coming off a knee injury. Rodgers, again, at least it gives us a second chance at maybe, and maybe he can play a month. And if he has to play 6 weeks and he'll go 4-2, then we turn it over to McCarthy. If Rodgers isn't great, if Rodgers is great, we do the same thing as last year. And I don't know that they feel comfortable. Like, here you go, kid. It's your team. You're ready to go, just because he is a rookie and he's coming off the second surgery.
Yeah, I see that. And I'll tell you this, and it gets back to our futures conversation. I want to get your thoughts on it. I went 5-0 in my NFL futures, making those wagers around this time once those numbers populate. I had Vikings over 6.5, adjusted win total, over $2 at 7.5. We obviously get home easily there. I played the under Raiders 6.5, adjusted win total under 5.5, over $2. We get home there. Had the Chargers over 9.5, that cash. Point being, when you identify teams, do you like doing that? It wasn't a huge menu. It was just five plays, but we did go 5-0. Do you like to adjust? Like, if I feel like the Vikings might be a little bit too high this year.
Yeah.
Because of what they did last year. Like, I want to attack. Cowboys are probably one of those teams that I'm talking about that I will attack on the win total and the adjusted win total, and just pick a select couple teams to either fade and or back. Do you like that strategy?
I do. Cause to the bang for the buck versus the risk of it landing by one either way, I think is worth it, because chances are, like, if you look at most of these teams that, you know, they either went above or under their win total by 2+. Very, very few landed on their number within one. So if you're high on a team, you know what, you climb the ladder and you get a little bang for your buck, even if it's not your whole bet. I completely agree.
Yeah, that's the way I'm going to try to attack. I do think Cowboys would be one team I attack. I don't know if I'm going to fade the Vikings after what they did last year, but it is uncertainty. Last year, that whole bet, by the way, those were made, and you know this, were made before we knew who the quarterback was. They hadn't even got to the draft yet. But you knew they were going to draft a quarterback, or that was the belief that they're going to draft a quarterback. It was more a play on Kevin O'Connell in coaches that I trust. And I will do that. A lot of these are kind of blind faith, and no disrespect to Antonio Pierce last year. It was a fade against Antonio Pierce. That's why I played that the way I did with the Raiders, not knowing what their quarterback situation was going to look like. I knew the two choices there with Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell were not great. And it was a play on, by the way, again, when I'm going to look at certain coaches that I do trust. Is there a coach out there that you will blind faith bet on? Because, again, Schottenheimer, the unknown, bothers me a little bit. But with Dak coming back and everybody else, it does look like, I think this team's going to be better than people think.
Yeah, as much as I think that number is too long, and I wouldn't be shocked. Like I said, they win double-digit games during the playoffs, and then you got a good bet. Boy, that was a strange hire, wasn't it?
It was. Look, I covered Marty in D.C., and I'm a big affinity for Dad. And if Brian's anything like Marty, Cowboys are going to be fine. But that doesn't mean you're going to be like your dad. But like, his dad had a way about him when you just – even when I interacted with you, looking you in the eye, straight shooter, like there was – from being at those training camps, Marty was just all business, no frills, and you got in line. Now, Mike, Big Mike, as I affectionately called him, Mike was kind of a player's coach. Guys liked him, right? They loved Dan Quinn. Brian, from what I hear, is kind of like Marty. I don't want to say aloof, but it might be more of a serious tone. That might be good for them, because maybe in the biggest games that Mike McCarthy had in the postseason, they didn't win a damn one of them. So, like, maybe that change is going to be good here if they can get to that big game spot. I just want to see what the vibe is with Brian, because – again, if he's like his dad, it's play on. If he's not and the guys don't respect him, that could be a problem.
Last one, anything college hoops you like? Any conviction on who's going to win the title? To me, I was talking about this on my open. I think once you get past the four teams, Duke, Auburn, Florida, Houston, You probably, I probably just named the champion out of one of those four teams. Maybe Texas Tech, maybe Iowa State. St. John's is a good story, but can they win six? I don't know. Do you have any anything in these conference futures, a future, and any thought here on college hoops?
One future. That's all I got. I played it about a week and a half ago. I played Alabama when they drifted to 14 to 1. And then they proceeded to lose to Florida. And you could have got 15, 16 to 1. And then they come out and they beat Auburn on Saturday. Great game.
Great game.
And win that. So I don't feel great about it. It was more of a numbers grab there. I thought 14 to 1 was a fair price. I feel like they're firmly locked in as a two. Let's say they go to the SEC championship and they've beaten Florida to get there and or Auburn. But if they beat, theoretically, two of the big three, Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn, and win the SEC tournament, can they get a one seed? I don't know that they can. But if they do get a one seed, then I'll feel a lot better about that ticket at 14 to 1.
Dave, you're the best, man. VEASAN by the books. What else you got going on? What can you plug?
At D-Ross Sports, I'm going to be tweeting about the fortune cookie that I just got, which said, love is on the way. Will, you're a married man, happily married. You're living a great life. I'm just a single guy who sweats out golf bets on a Sunday. Where is it, fortune cookie? I'm waiting. Let's go.
On that note, appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again soon, and I will I guess I'll talk to you Monday morning. So appreciate it, man. Yeah, always fun.
You're the best.
All right, we'll do it again soon. Thanks. All right, thanks to Dave Ross. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back Wednesday. See you then.